Welcome to CougarCast with Keith Schertz and Tosh McIntosh. CougarCast, covering BYU football and basketball. Email the show, cougarcast@gmail.com, and follow on Twitter at CougarCast.
Greetings, my name is Keith Schertz, and I'm here with the 2002 Daily Herald Utah County Name of the Year and undefeated Chili Cook-Off champion, Tosh McIntosh. Tosh, we are back.
It's good to be back. That means football is almost freaking here.
It is almost here. We are 3 weeks away from that matchup you've just been waiting all summer for against Portland State.
Can't wait. I sincerely mean that I cannot wait for the Portland State
game. And it's because you want to see what the guys look like out on the field. And I totally get that. Tosh, so we had a little bit of a break there. Obviously, the season ended. You and I just had a red-hot conversation about Eric Mika and a few other things. But basically, if this is your first time listening to the show, a couple of buddies... obsessed about BYU football. I'm a writer on VanquishTheFoe.com. I have Tosh on here with me, and the reason that I have Tosh on here is he's connected. Okay, he knows that he's from the seedy underground of the multi-level marketing world here in Provo.
That's not even true, we differentiate ourselves.
He gets to what's the difference? Just educate me for a second. What's the difference?
So MLM, you have to pay to play, you know.
Okay.
That would be the big difference.
All right. So, but you do work in that world, and from that, you get to kind of meet people and get some sources and kind of know, and you're so connected. And beyond that, you're just a maniac, right?
I am a BYU maniac, that's for sure.
I think that's a little bit about us. If you've just joined with us, make sure you follow us on Twitter. And get in touch with us. Let us know how you like the show. It's cougarcast@gmail.com. Tosh, the 2017 BYU football season is getting all set to begin. I know all summer long we have followed along with all the silly stories that have come by. By the way, just a quick brief aside. Usually we call the off-season suspension season.
Yeah.
This has been one of the most quiet suspension seasons.
It's been great.
And I feel like something would have come out by now.
Well, they changed their stance. Remember that they don't announce them. But even last year, that was their stance. And we had heard rumblings of, so-and-so might not be starting.
Right.
And we haven't heard anything.
And you haven't heard anything. So
I don't think anyone has been suspended as of now.
Yeah, and this may be one of those, like, surprise, like, oh, this person's not playing against Portland State. Like.
And
why didn't that person play?
And that might be one of the best reasons we're playing Portland State in the first game, too. Is that even if we have to suspend a guy for a half or a game, let's do it against Portland State.
So, with a relatively quiet suspension season, Tosh, we've had time to really think about this team and kind of the one thing with this team that makes both of us feel really confident and really good about the 2017 version of the BYU football team. So I will get us started with that because I just, and this is not going to be a surprise to anybody, but my number one thing that I've thought about, I'm doubling down even further. I am all in on Tanner Mangum. All in. I know I've been all in on Tanner Mangum for a while now. I was all in on him last year as well. But I genuinely feel that Tanner Mangum is a super duper player. He's a superstar player. He instantly makes your team better. Tosh, I don't know what you think about Tanner all the way. I know you really like him. I don't know that you're as far in on Tanner Mangum as maybe I am. But to me, Tanner Mangum is the kind of player where if he's on your team, he's the first guy you build the entire team around. And
that's a big point. Like, you only get a few of those players ever so often. And I don't disagree with you that Tanner is a guy that you put him on any team in the country, and I feel like they're tweaking offenses for him, that he's changing who they are. And it's awesome that we have a guy like that.
Yeah, and I think about Tanner Mangum, And I'm not even worried about, you know, who's going to be around him because he's that good. I think he proved this when he was a freshman. I think, you know, what was it? His fourth or maybe fifth start. It was against East Carolina. If you remember the game, he got hurt. BYU fell apart. They fell behind. Both the defense and the offense seem influenced by his injury. And then he came on and gutted out a victory. And within the, you know, 5 weeks of being the starting quarterback at BYU, he became the most influential and important player that was on our roster.
Yeah. No, that game was awesome. He's out there. He limps back onto the field. The crowd goes wild, and he brought us back to score.
And he had some tough games after that. You know, the one I always think about is the San Jose State game where we were at San Jose State. We won 14-13, and we only won because they made a stupid play at the end of the game. They went for a two-point conversion on a halfback pass, which was really silly of them. But the point is he had some rough games. I acknowledge that. But I do think that you don't have a kid like that who can come in and be kind of the critical player for the entire team. And I know quarterback sort of lends itself to that, but most quarterbacks just can't come in and really accentuate the fact that they're the man and that they can come in and really change the destiny of your team just simply because they're on your team.
Yeah.
And I feel that about Mangum.
If I'm going to play devil's advocate a little bit, I love Mangum. But what the people would say, and that there's definitely truth to, you look back at some of the Mangum greatness, and some of those were 50-50 balls, but not even 50-50. Some of those were, you know, 10%, 90% balls where our receivers made amazing plays to give us some of the Mangum magic that we had. And that's what people might say has inflated Mangum's stock.
That's fine. I hear that. I'm comfortable with throwing up kind of a 50-50 ball. First of all, he only threw 10 interceptions his freshman year. That's less than what Taysom threw last year.
Yeah.
So, like, I think that Mangum's ability to throw the football into a spot and trust his guys to go make plays, that, first of all, just makes for more exciting football. But beyond that, it makes wide receivers more engaged, and I feel like you're going to see more and more big plays, and that's really the thing that makes me feel really good about Mangum. Listen, I want to just say, here's my criticism of him. There are three major things that every great quarterback does.
Okay.
They throw an accurate ball. They throw the ball downfield. This is in the passing game, okay? But they throw an accurate ball. They throw the ball downfield. And lastly, they actively move in the pocket in a way that helps with pass protection. They help their offensive line.
Yeah.
Okay.
Even the non-mobile ones, but the Peyton Mannings and the...
Drew Brees is a perfect
example.
They
just move a little bit, and they just avoid the rush with these little movements.
The one space that he doesn't do is he doesn't actively make pass protection better. In fact, his solution to everything is to roll out to the right.
Yeah.
That's a problem. And he's going to have to solve that if BYU is going to get even better, especially now that he is literally the guy. He doesn't have Jamal Williams with him. He doesn't have any sort of supporting cast player this year. He doesn't have a Mitch Matthews to look to. It's him. And to me, I mentioned Drew Brees, but we've seen how many different receivers, how many different tight ends, how many different running backs with the Saints? And it doesn't matter. The dude throws for 5,000 yards every year. He's done it five times since 2011, Drew Brees. And it doesn't matter who he's with. He's just so good at throwing an accurate ball. He throws downfield. And he moves in a way actively helping the pass protection. You know, he helps out his offensive line. And so because of that, I just think Drew Brees is the kind of guy that does it. Doesn't matter who's around him. I'm betting on Tanner Mangum to be that kind of a player. And, you know, I just have to say, you know, I really have a lot of faith that he is that good. I think that he'll be able to really produce despite having all the question marks in the world about all the people around him. Because honestly, Tosh, who else in the skill positions are you really, you know, you have a lot of reason to have faith in and believe in them at this point?
He's the only proven skilled player we have, which...
Like, are you feeling great about Squally Canada?
I feel like there's some potential there. He's not going to be Jamal Williams.
Is he better or worse than J.J. DeLuigi?
Better.
I'm not so sure.
I think he's better.
Okay. Well, so, and then how about, I mean, there's a lot of excitement about Ulatulatau.
The question on
is... He's hurt, but...
Who is your buddy that was in your ward who was a great dynamic kick returner?
Adam Hine.
That's what I think the question is Canada better than Hine? And I think that's what, I don't know.
Are we sure Hine was better than JJ DeLuigi?
Yeah, I'm not very high on old JJ.
Okay. Well, I do think that, the point is this is what we're talking about though.
Yeah. We don't have proven guys. I mean, we don't even know who the starting running back is. There's six guys listed as the oars on the starter for running back. On receivers,
but isn't that worrying? The point that nobody can really like distance themselves in the mix.
He totally 100% worrying.
You know, it's like if Riley Byrd. A lot of fans love Riley Byrd, but if he's so good, why can't he distinguish himself as that much better than than Squally Canada?
And Tulatau, I think people were stoked on, but then he's had, I believe, turf toe, and so none of these guys have emerged. Big question marks. Fanua, I've heard, is great. Like all these guys are big. Who knows if one can emerge? Same with receivers. What's both exciting and worrisome to me is that the skilled position player that I'm most excited about is a guy that has never stepped foot in a real game for BYU before, Matt Bushman. Like, I am stoked on Bushman, but then there's a part of me that's like, am I just grasping for new guys because I don't have a lot of confidence in any of our other returning skilled position players?
Well, we know that tight ends thrive under Ty Detmer's system. Last year, our most explosive wide receiver was Tanner Baldery.
Yeah.
Is that what it is? Is it because of the... and he's back, and
Baldery's back. Let's not underestimate the old Baldery. But he's hurt right now. We have MLP. But here's some Matt Bushman.
By the way, that's Moroni Laulu Pututau, if you're confused. He moved from wide receiver to tight end, if you weren't aware. He's playing tight end this year. That's MLP.
Bushman. High school phenom at receiver, but a giant receiver.
Right.
In spring ball, played great. Probably our best player in the spring game. And everything I've heard is in fall camp that this guy is making big plays. That when they play him at tight end, we don't have a linebacker that can guard him very well. When we also move him out to the outside, to the wide receiver position, and his size and speed... I'm hearing 4.5 or 4.6 speed.
Mm-hmm.
I am stoked about
Bushman. He's not as fast as Scott Arlotto, but
no,
still fast.
No, that's an inside joke for our very long time listeners. Bushman is our best skilled player, possibly, outside of Mangum, which is exciting, but an indictment on let's hope some of these other skilled players that have played before can also step up.
All right, let's talk about the guys on the outside, because I'm with you. I'm all in I'm with you as well. I mean, we've been all in on Matt Bushman since they announced
him. We were raving on his signing.
Yeah, I mean, we were the only ones. Well, if you go back and listen to signing day from, 2014? You know, when we were doing that pod, like, we were going crazy about Matt Bushman and... Nobody was really talking about him at that point, but people are talking now, and he still hasn't played it down. So he's promising. He had an at-bat for BYU baseball this year. He failed to get on base.
Always kicking him.
Always. Always got to find some way to get under his skin, I guess. But yeah, so now that's Matt Bushman. I'm with you. Like, I mean, there's a real strong chance. We'll talk more about why he's so important to this team potentially. But one of the things that I think that you need to think about with this team is on the wide receiver aspect, you know, what is Jonah Trinneman? Is he one of these soft wide receivers that's fast but doesn't make any plays? Or will he be the kind of guy to go get 50-50 balls from Tanner Mangum?
He's the best athlete I think we have ever had at receiver. When you look at his measurables, his speed, his vertical, the guy's short and can do crazy dunks from with no steps, like... This guy is a complete athlete, but with that, why is he not doing more in games? Why is he not doing more in practices? That he's a great guy to have, and I'm glad we have him, but I actually don't think he's going to be our leading receiver. I don't even know if he'll be in the top three leading receivers.
Well, he's interesting. I've wondered if he, you know, I mean, I don't mean to do this, Tosh, but I just think that he's a downfield guy who played with a quarterback
who
couldn't throw downfield.
That's fair. He's going to have a go route quarterback this year.
Yeah.
Which, that's the type of receiver he is.
And with maybe some help on the inside, with Bushman being as much of a problem as people are projecting him to be, if you put him on the outside and you get a DB on him, that's trouble. If you put him in the slot and you put a linebacker on him, well, he'll burn him there. So too big for a DB, and he's too fast for a linebacker. Well, so then the right person to guard him potentially is a safety. But if you bring a safety up to handle him, what happens? That gets you a one-on-one on the outside with Trinnaman, and maybe he can go.
I see lots of ways how Trinnaman could break out, and I hope it happens. The only reason I said that is because I hear a lot more about Talon Shumway, Micah Simon, Akili Davis, even Hefo making plays in practice recently more than I hear about Trinnaman. So I'm hoping Trinnaman breaks out and lives up to the potential that he has.
Is he the new Michael Davis? You remember the cornerback from last year?
Oh, yeah.
We loved Michael Davis year after year after year, and then he got exposed by Diane Lake. Basically he stopped playing because he wasn't physical.
Yeah.
They showed that he was like afraid to tackle and he wasn't physical, and so because of that, he didn't, you know, get as much time. And I feel like that's sort of what's happening to Jonah Trinnaman.
Yeah, he's just not getting open, I guess, which doesn't make any sense.
Well, that's
sense.
Physicality, right? Yeah. I mean, that's physicality. It's getting off the line. It's beating your man off the line.
And maybe we've got to come up with some creative ways to put him into his strengths. Maybe some bubble screens. Maybe even a fly sweep to a guy that's that freak athletic.
Kick return, maybe?
Yeah. No, he's the starting kick returner as of now.
So,
but
who are you feeling best about then between there's two Shumways, Talon and Ricky?
Talon Shumway. That's who I think is going to be our leading receiver, is Talon Shumway.
Okay. But, there's Bo Tanner. You were high on Bo Tanner last year.
Yep.
There's a lot of guys that they have, you know, hope for. Akil Davis, Simon, right?
Bo Tanner, speaking of him before we move on too much, like, he's been the coaches have mentioned him a lot, but it's been almost like a half compliment in my mind, where they've said, from based off of production, off of what we were expecting going into fall camp, that Bo Tanner has exceeded expectations. We weren't expecting much, and he was one of the players of the game in their most recent scrimmage.
What was his history? Was he a walk-on?
Yes.
But he originally was out at I want to say, like, Texas.
He had, like,
A&M
one offer, I think, to Kentucky or something like that.
Kentucky, that's right.
And I don't know if it was a scholarship even or a preferred walk-on sort of status.
Okay, so he just kind
of
came out of nowhere.
Here, but he's a little short, but besides that, he's fast, has a body that looks like an athlete.
And you like his hair, right?
Oh, yeah. He looks like Vanilla Ice, you know? If Vanilla Ice became a football player, that's Bo Tanner.
Right.
So how can you not help cheer for the guy?
All right, I'm on board with that. Okay, so the point, though, is there wasn't real much, there wasn't a whole lot of glowing reviews of any of those people. Oliva Hefo, a lot of people, he played a lot last year, and he put in terms of yards per catch, he put in the least explosive season by a BYU receiver since, like, 1990. Okay.
It was bad.
And so he had a really, really bad year last year as a freshman.
The first play of the game against Utah, we decided, hey, let's go to Hefo.
Yeah, pick six.
I hope that. I actually think he's been making some great catches, and he was young. I have not written off Hefo.
I also think it was a pick six against West Virginia, and they were throwing it.
Well, at the end of the game, in the big crutch moment, again, we went to Hefo. Yeah. So at least Tanner had confidence in it.
It's crazy.
Not Tanner. By Tanner, I mean Taysom, but yeah.
Taysom. He also threw it to that one dude against Utah in 2012.
Taysom's looking good in the pros. What if Taysom becomes this dynamic thrower in the pros?
He's going to get hurt.
I hope not.
I hope not, but
I'm excited for, we're getting to Green Bay football this year. We don't want to get diverted on this too
really,
long.
I don't really care about Green Bay football, personally. I hope Jamal Williams does good. I love Ty Montgomery. I do love Ty Montgomery. I do. I he was like one of my favorite college football players to
watch
at Stanford.
Colby Pearson might make their team.
Yeah, Colby
if
Pearson.
If Colby Pearson makes their team and dominates, and if Taysom becomes a good passer there, That's going to leave BYU fans shaking their heads for years.
Taysom.
How did we not
get more? He's never going to play. Aaron Rodgers is going to be there.
All right.
You're saying that he might be Aaron Rodgers?
Guys get hurt.
Okay. And then what? It's Brett Hundley is the backup there. Former UCLA.
He's fighting for the third string. I know that.
Yeah. I hope he surprises me. That's my main thing is I just think we're going to get more yardage downfield. We're going to be more explosive. We're going to get more chunk yardage. That's going to result in more opportunities. And then here's the last one. Tanner was absolutely lethal in the red zone. Lethal in the red zone. Okay. Their touchdown rate was enormous when he was a freshman. Okay. And they came away with no points on only 6% of their red zone trips. That was the best rate of any team in America during 2015.
It's awesome.
Like, so he's an assassin in the red zone. I believe in the dude. I am all in on it. He just needs to, and to me, he delivers the ball accurately. He gives it downfield. The one thing he needs to improve is moving in the pocket in a way that helps the offensive line, makes them better. And I think that is possible for him to do that. That just comes with more experience and more time because teams started figuring out that he would just, if there was any sort of pressure, he never stepped up. He always rolled out and to the right.
Yep.
So that's going to be a problem this year. But that kind of leads into your biggest thing that you've been thinking about.
So the biggest thing for me rolling into the season that gets me excited about BYU
kicking. Is you're so not excited kicking. About kicking.
But it's equally fun to listen to and talk about for a lot of sports fans. But I'm passionate about it, so here it is. I think our O-line is going to be the difference this year. I feel like if you look at what has been BYU's issue for the last seven-ish years, it's been we've been getting beat in the trenches against the good teams. This year, I feel like our O-line is finally starting to look like the BYU O-lines that I grew up with, the BYU O-lines that we didn't get out-physicaled by anybody. We've got Karoma, who I feel like is the best center we've had in modern BYU
times. I mean, when you start thinking about, like, Trevor Maddich
and that goes back to Oates brothers. Now that's like 32 years ago.
You're starting to think a long time back, yeah.
And we've got guys at every position with a lot of playing time. I think Norman's a lot better than people give him credit for. When I broke down the film, that guy handled his man at a very, very high rate. Tony Kanuch has got a bulldozer. Tooney. I feel like that guy can play Hoyt or Longson at right tackle. I bet it's Hoyt, and I've got confidence in that guy.
My intelligence on Kiefer Longson was the better recruit out of high school.
Yeah.
But what I have on Kiefer Longson
is... that was hit twice on his mission by the car?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So, but he just for the life of him really struggles with false starts. Just cannot hold still. And can't remember what the last thing on two, four, whatever it is. And he gets like frustrated enough. Like he'll stand up in practice and like start hitting his helmet and be like, "You idiot!" Like... So I know that he really struggles with, with false starts, and so you can't play a guy if you're worried you're going to go back 5 yards.
Guys can figure that out, and hopefully he does. But that is, it's something you cannot have. Here, the position that a lot of fans are a little nervous about, and there was a recent article by Jay Drew that talked about this, is Schoaf at the left tackle position, which is the most important, probably that or the center. Position on the whole line, and the worry is that he's pretty small for a lineman. He's 275, and I think he might even be slightly under that, which for a normal human, you're thinking 275 is big, but for a lineman, especially a starting left tackle, it's pretty small. Here's my take. He played great last year when he played. He started the last couple of games, but yes, the other side of me is playing well against Wyoming is very different than playing great against LSU.
That's fine, but Wyoming was really pretty darn good last year.
They were, yep.
Okay.
They were one of the best.
I just want to stand up for Wyoming. They actually were really pretty good last year.
And here's my thing that I think people are underestimating. I think in college football right now, teams are going for DNs. They're going smaller and faster. That you look at the
well, that was the TCU model, right? Oh, they used to take the running backs and then put them at defensive
end. Then those guys wouldn't do anything in the NFL, but they would dominate in college.
Jerry Hughes.
Exactly. Remember him? That guy gave me nightmares. Like, it's one of the few defensive opposing players that I would just watch the whole time.
Right. Like, well, and you could actually remember.
Yeah. Schoaf, though, that guy is, I think that his little bit smaller size might actually be a strength. Last year, all the sacks we gave up were guys beating us around the edge. I think his first step back and him being the size that he is, I am stoked on our line. Empey has impressed me. Also, Ty Detmer goes out of his way to talk about how excited he is about the improvement we've seen on the line. This is the difference maker. And why I've been thinking about this is because that is the missing link we've needed. I'm huge on the football is won in the trenches. I would even say the team that has better trench play, O-line and D-line, wins 90% or 9 out of 10 games.
Unless you can throw downfield.
But you can throw downfield a lot better if you're giving your guys time.
Right, but I'm just telling you, the one equalizer is if you can have explosive plays and throw downfield.
Totally. That's where you might win the 10%. But that's the fluky games. Like, the line wins games. And that is why we have lost to Utah 7 out of the last 7 times. Yes, we could have had some things go our way to win a couple of those games and should have. But they have had better trench play than us for 7 straight years. And that is why this is on my mind more than ever. I think for the first time in 8 years, we will have better linemen overall, offensive and defensive combined, than Utah. And thus, that is on my mind and is going to be a difference maker this year.
Wow. So there you go. And, you know, the other thing, Tosh, just to add on to that, is it seems like there's actually, like, a perceivable plan with what they want to do with their offensive linemen. Like, Ty Detmer came in and said, I want bigger guys.
Yep.
I want them to be physical.
Well, we were doing this go fast, go hard stuff. Who is that hardest on?
O-linemen.
Yeah, like, and then all of a sudden they became these skinny dudes. Like, and we have changed that.
Well, and then the other, but what I'm saying is that it didn't really seem like there was a real plan about the kind of offensive lineman we were going to get. We were just going to take whoever wanted to come to BYU and wanted BYU. I'm going to use that language again. Wanted BYU. And so that person would make the team, and it felt that way. And now there's like, it just seems like there's a strategy.
Yeah.
About how they're picking offensive linemen. And I think that identity that they're going to have is really going
and
to help.
And defensive linemen. I mean, we're having a lot of linemen on both sides of the ball that are choosing us over Utah, that are choosing us over a lot of P5 schools, where in the Bronco era, it seemed like we only got linemen that would have no other offers, that were just BYU kids that were 100% set, which I love. I'm a BYU guy, but I like that our coaches are going out there and bringing in some big, good, talented hogs.
They're competing.
Yep.
The coaches are competing.
And that will help us compete. That is the thing. Like, I know line talk is boring, but that is going to be the difference. And that's why, even with our lack of experience on our offense, I actually think we're going to be a pretty dang good team this year.
All right, Tosh, I watched the spring game on BYU TV. I think you were there in person.
Yep.
But one of the highlights for me was Blaine Fowler overdoing it. There were times where he'd overdo it. But my favorite one was when, and so we're gonna finish this thing with like 90 seconds of kicking talk.
Okay.
But my favorite one was when Rhett Allman's inside 45 yards, it's automatic.
I hope so. No, he's the ultimate optimist. Blaine Fowler, that guy, he gives some hot optimistic takes.
45 yards, Tosh. Rhett Allman was good, man. I used to, I'd say, Rhett, you bet. Right? That used to be my little nickname for him. He's done pretty good as a kicker, and obviously we won a couple games because of him last year.
We had the best kicking by committee season I have ever seen.
Yeah. So, but, Jake Oldroyd.
Yeah.
And a couple of those guys won. You know, and just, but kicking actually is going to be huge. I don't know that he's automatic from 45 yards in. I didn't feel horrible about him kicking. In fact, I got quite confident in him, but then he started to fall apart more as the year went on. Mm-hmm. But I do think Red Almond is going to be fine. But I did love 45 yards and in. It's automatic, baby. It's flying through the pipes.
Let's hope that's true. Let's hope that's true.
What's funny is he missed the kick.
In the game?
Yeah, so he just said, like, well, now wait and watch Red Almond. He's going to kick. He's automatic for 45 in, and then he tried, like, a 35-yarder and shanked it. And
good
it was,
old Blaine.
I thought, oh.
I just hope that we don't have to rely on game-winning kicks much this year. It's stressful.
Yeah, a lot of really close games, cardiac Cougs. Last thing, punting. I said we were talking the kicking game. We're going to do it.
Yeah, no punt. I mean, we have Linehan. We
feel fine about Linehan. He's not a power guy, though. He doesn't really change the field.
He's on the verge of being great. Like, he was on the Brett Guy watch list? Like
Ray Guy.
Yeah. Who's Brett? That was the old Utah State coach, I think.
Yeah, Brett Guy used to be the head coach at Utah yeah. State.
So
yeah, who compared the troubles. He once compared the troubles of the Aggie football team to, like, September 11th. He's like, well, this is our September 11th right now. Yeah.
You can't do that.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
He didn't last long.
It wasn't good.
And then the team got a lot better once he left. Sorry if there's any family members of Mr. Guy listening. But Linehan, that guy, I think can play. And I don't think we're going to try another 4th-and-19. I hope that he has a great season so that that's not his legacy at BYU. I have a lot of confidence that he's not going to – I feel like mentally that guy's strong. He's not going to muff punts. He's not going to shank a punt in a crucial moment.
And he's got more – he's learning the game still.
Yeah.
Crazily enough, he's still learning the game. But he gets solid kicks off. But like I said, I don't – unless the guy receiving is dumb and lets it bounce. But I don't really feel – unless they let it bounce and go all the way like – and bounce around. I just don't really feel like he has the ability to really change field position in a massive way. Like, I don't think he boots 50-yard punts.
Hopefully he has that. He'd have to add that to his game this year. If he has any chance of winning, like, the Ray Guy Award, like, he's on their watch list, he's going to have to add that to his
repertoire. Yeah, well, that's one place where Utah's been better, punting.
Yep.
There you go.
I'll give him that.
And the trunches.
Hopefully we can get better at him. If we can get better at him in the line, they can have the punting awards.
All right, well, that's it for this week's Cougar Cast. Tosh, any plugs? Anything you want the people to find?
I'll give a couple plugs. One is next week we're going to break down our predictions on the season, give win-loss, go through each game, and then our...
And I want to talk about the stuck-in-molasses world of winning 8 or 9 games every year. Yeah.
And for first-time listeners, where we really are at our best, and if I'm going to self-analyze this real, is for our Week of Games podcasts, I think you're the best out there breaking down games and giving predictions. So really tune in for then. I am, for the first time in our podcasting career, finally active on Twitter. So if you want to follow me at Lehigh Roller, it's kind of spelled the weird way, Lehigh.
Yeah,
Roller.
Like the university.
Yep, Lehigh Roller. Follow me on there, and I give a lot of good at BYU takes on there. So,
and you can hit him up on the DM. He loves DMing with people.
Hit
him up on the DM. You know, tell he'll talk badly about me with you. So if you want to trash me, go ahead. Yep. DM Tosh. So again, obviously at CougarCast on Twitter. If you have any questions for the show, anything you want to say, any of your takes, please be involved with us on the email, cougarcast@gmail.com. I have given like 3,000 word article responses to people that have never seen the light of day except for in their email box. So I definitely am a maniac when it comes to responding to those things. I also, on a personal note, Tosh.
I love when you get personal.
I have a little personal note, but I also I started a vlog, and it's of me and I'm with my family and we just do stuff, and nobody's watching it, but it's fun. And I go to sporting events and talk about the history of the places and all this stuff. So we've done a few of those. I went to the Minnesota Twins, and I've gone to Real Salt Lake and different places like this.
You've got to have a fan base out there. I'm planning, some of you listeners might love
I'm planning on doing more. So if you want to get to know more about myself and my family, I actually have this little vlog. It's just fun. So you can find it just on YouTube, and you can search my name, Keith Schertz. How about that? How
sounds crazy great. Is that? I'll watch a few vlogs.
Oh, thank you. All right, that's it for this week's CougarCast. I hope you all have a terrific week. And we are, what, just less than 3 weeks away from BYU football.
It's almost here.
Thank you for listening to CougarCast. If you enjoyed this show, take the time out to give us a rating on iTunes. Also, look for us on VanquishTheFoe.com. If that isn't enough, you can follow us on Twitter @CougarCast. Enjoy the games and go Cougars!